The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, 46% of restaurant and bar owners say they are not optimistic about the future of hospitality. And if you're a regular listener to the show, you will have heard this issue emerge throughout not just the pandemic, but particularly during the phase of getting back on our feet at the end of the pandemic. One of the big challenges, of course, being not only getting customers in, but getting the staff to serve those customers. According to a survey of 1,000 businesses, 70% are reporting staff shortages as a concern. With us now is Elena Fitzgerald-Kane, who is president of the Irish Hotels Federation. And in a second, we'll be hearing from the CEO of Fáilte Ireland, Paul Kelly. But Elena, from your perspective, how challenging is it currently to get staff?
Good morning, Anton, to you and your listeners. It is quite challenging, to be honest. And I suppose there's been so much uncertainty. There was kind of a sense of, look, where is tourism going? Where is hospitality going? And it was very, very difficult to plan for the future in so many ways during the pandemic. So within that time period, whilst there was a high level of engagement with our teams during the pandemic, fantastic upskilling opportunities promoted by government, Fáilte Ireland, we even launched our own SkillNet. The reality was that some people, they moved sectors because there was, certain sectors remained open. Some people moved home. And equally, there was, I suppose, things like a shortage of chefs and managers pre-COVID. So that's a legacy issue, but it's obviously been compounded by the closure periods and I suppose that sense of reopening. But there's a lot being done to try and address it in terms of recruitment initiatives, upskilling, and it's very much a shoulder to wheel. And I suppose we're very conscious of the 22nd of October and further reopening, and it's just doing everything we can to make sure that we're in the best position and building on the success we've had during the summer. But things like the budget and continued government supports would be critical to supporting, our recovery.
I assume your challenge is twofold, because there's a sense that, to some extent, that the service industry is unskilled, when nothing could be further from the truth. Trying to get good waiters, good waitresses, good maitre d's, good service staff, good people in kitchens, that can be extremely difficult.
I suppose in our own business, we recruit for attitude. And yes, there's a certain requirement of skills base. But often if you recruit the right people, people who are passionate about what they do, like to be part of a dynamic team, there's so many processes in place now to support training. It's easy to build on that. And in advance of opening, once we kind of got our reopening, yes, there was a huge recruitment and some fantastic people joined our industry this summer. And I think, look, Irish people were great to support, I suppose, Irish tourism, and some great and some exciting experiences, probably experiences people never thought they had. But there was a huge upskilling program and skilling program put in place, and not just around COVID and the basic skills around customer care. So even for people who hospitality is not a career choice for them, there's some amazing life skills, developed and created along the way as part of the journey in hospitality. And of course, it's a great passport to work overseas as well, too, when the time is right to travel again.
What's your expectation in relation to tourism and the tourism recovery generally, both as we look into autumn and winter and the years to come?
I suppose if you were to look and take the longer term view, tourism isn't expected to recover until 2024. And a huge part of getting that, like, there's a really challenging 9 months ahead. It's not the challenging times we had before now in terms of opening, closing, and, I suppose trading under huge restrictions. And they still continue. There's still a lot of things that are not allowed to happen. So we have a really, really long 9 months ahead. I suppose the positives are that there is great demand from Irish people in terms of, Halloween experiences, Christmas experiences. We're starting to see corporate events now starting to recover. But from a general tourism perspective, tourism is a 9 billion industry in Ireland, and 7 billion of that comes from overseas. So unless, international tourism is kick-started in earnest, our connectivity is restored. We're quite different to other European countries because we're an island nation. It's a big battle, but the good thing is everybody's ready to put the shoulder to the wheel.
I mentioned earlier on that we have with us the Fáilte Ireland Chief Executive, Paul Kelly. Paul, as you look at that 7 billion euro that comes from overseas, what's your expectation on how much of it is going to return and when?
Yeah, good morning, Anton. And as Elena says, it's going to take a number of years to rebuild back up that international tourism. We're going to see, I think the UK market come back probably first. Really important that we compete for the European business that's out there and try and get that back. But that longer haul market, the US, particularly important to Ireland, is going to take that bit longer, that bit longer to come back. So we are going to see, kind of a multi-speed recovery in tourism, where some businesses, those businesses that kind of are well set up to benefit from the domestic market, I think they're kind of moving into the recovery phase now. But for the businesses that really rely on the overseas market, they're still very much in survival
Well,
mode, and
can we
there's
focus on,
huge.
particularly when we look at the overseas, on that long haul market? Because in bums on seats, it may not be the biggest, but in cash terms, it's hugely significant. And in essence, Americans are at least sort of de facto locked out of Ireland. It could take a long time before that pattern goes back to normal, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the before COVID struck, the US market was the largest overseas revenue market. It wasn't large in terms of visitor numbers, but when US visitors come here, they tend to stay longer, they spend more. So really important that we get that back as soon as and we're ready. I think the industry will be ready to welcome them, but we need to have the right supports, as Elena says, into connectivity and into the aviation sector, because once that market kind of opens up, every country in Europe is going to be scrambling for that business. Before COVID struck, Europe, was doing really good business from long haul markets like China, as well as the US, etc. And all of the European markets are going to be fighting for as much of that business as possible. So really important that we are competitive. As Elena says, we're an island nation. We absolutely rely on air and sea connectivity. And so we're going to have to ensure we're as competitive as
And
possible,
what are you projecting
supporting
in
the
terms of
aviation sector.
that return coming back? Are we looking at next summer? Or are we looking at 2023?
I think we're looking at next summer before we have kind of material numbers of overseas visitors coming into Ireland. I mean, so it is, as Elaine says, it's going to be about kind of supporting the industry through the winter and into next June and July, when hopefully we'll begin to see material numbers of overseas visitors. But it getting back to the kind of record levels we had in 2018, 2019, that all of the projections seem to say that is 2024 or 2025 before we get there. Absolute, no doubt that we will. Tourism always recovers from crisis and from shocks. And the Irish tourism sector is an incredibly resilient sector, and I have no doubt that we will grow back to be, bigger and better and more sustainable than we were before COVID struck. But it's just going to take us that number of years to get there.
Well, if we look at the separation of responsibilities among the tourism agencies, obviously Tourism Ireland will be tasked as it is with flogging our wares overseas and trying to get the people to come. Fáilte Ireland is responsible for the product here when they then get here. With that in mind, what of the costs, Paul? Because we have a long history of being a premium tourism product, or at least charging premium tourism prices. And there's going to be pressure on hoteliers, pressure on restaurateurs, on pubs to try to make back the losses that they've incurred during the pandemic. Is that going to make us uncompetitive?
I think, I think we are a premium product. Yes, we are not a low cost tourism economy, in terms of the wages that people get paid in Ireland are higher than some other places. The cost base in general Irish businesses have are higher than some other European and other markets around the world. But we do offer a premium. We offer a really premium product. And every time I speak to overseas visitors, to overseas buyers, etc., that's all acknowledged. So we have an excellent tourism industry and an excellent tourism product, but we do need to remain competitive, and I think that in terms of that's why in particular I suppose the VAT rate, that the tourism sector is looking for the retention of the 9% VAT rate. That is a competitive VAT rate across the European market, so in terms of that will really help, and particularly I suppose as the pressure on wage inflation, which is absolutely alive and happening now, and I think will continue, that enabling businesses to compete by having a competitive VAT rate, I think is going to be really important to help them to stay viable. I mean, it's not like businesses are operating at huge margins here. these are all tight margin businesses. So, in terms of, it is important that there's not a lot of headspace there for those kind of for those kind of changes. So really important we help them to remain competitive.
Briefly, Paul, what about the resilience of those businesses? Because there are obviously big ticket hotels where you would expect there to be either enough cash or enough backing for them to be able to survive downturn. But we have a huge industry in boutique hotels, in B&Bs, in small restaurants, in small pubs. Are you expecting closures in the coming years?
I think, you know, I think the industry would acknowledge in general that the you know, the, would really welcome the government supports that helped mitigate not fully but to some extent the worst impact of the crisis, that the likes of the extended wage subsidy scheme and the CRSS and the Fáilte Ireland business continuity support, etc. You know, that has kept those businesses alive and put them in a position where they can recover, you know, in terms of, so you know, it's important we're not there yet, and you know, those supports need to remain for a bit longer into next year. You know, we think that, you know, that we can't have that cliff edge. We do need to kind of, you know, help those businesses make it to the finish line and that keep those supports going. So, you know, in terms of, so I think that if we can do that, really important. One thing we do know is that the recovery will be slower if we don't have the businesses there to leverage it. We can't get employment back if we don't have employers. So we need to keep as many of those businesses as possible alive and thriving so that they can drive that recovery.
And also to keep them attractive, text coming in along this line saying, only yesterday there was a poll of hospitality staff. 72% are unhappy with pay, terms, conditions. They reported being badly treated by employers and clients. These minimum wage jobs are a last resort for a lot of people. Hard work, low pay, little benefits, bank holiday work, weekends and Christmas. It is a very difficult sector for staff, and a lot of texts along that theme. So it'll be, I imagine, a double challenge, Paul, not just to make sure that the jobs are there for people, but also to coax them back into them.
Just to that, you know, in terms of, I accept that, you know, in terms of there is a lot of challenges in the sector, and I know that the industry and different sectors in the industry are working hard to try and improve that attractiveness. But there is fantastic career opportunities in the sector in terms of the amount of people I've met who are now, they've traveled around the world, are hotel general managers, they've got really fantastic careers, and they started out, you know, serving tables, or they started out as a commis chef in a kitchen, and they've now gone on to have fantastic careers. So, you know, in terms of, there's tremendous career opportunities and tremendous, and as Elena says, huge amount of money from and support from Fáilte Ireland and from lots of industry players on training and developing those staff and bringing them along. So, you know, in terms of, you know, I don't know that particular poll. I can't talk to the validity of the research methodology, but I come across day in, day out, people who have had fantastic careers and are really happy and love working in tourism and hospitality.
Paul Kelly, thank you. That's the Chief Executive of Fáilte Ireland, Paul Kelly. And before him, Elena Fitzgerald-Kane, President of the Irish Hotels Federation.